You already know when something about to make a big impact. It's what we used to.
Wrestle. Yeah. Welcome to the table. Keep it locked in. Got some talent out this world about to drop in. And the story that we sharing about to shock them. And the level that I'm giving is a top 10. When you hear it's not a show where you get boxed in. Free to be authentic. Ain't nothing off limits. Paint the true picture, not somebody else's false image. Even when you low, it's what somebody else calls winning. TZ got the table set. Whether it's someone you know that's famous or ain't made it yet. Recognize the power, check the numbers on the data set. Trying to find somebody else that's better, well let's make a bet. That's a flow, just broke it down, I ain't even break a sweat. Welcome to the table. We just get it started, never done, never settled.
We speeding?
All right.
Yo. What is good, everybody? I am your humble host, the man, the myth, maybe a legend to some people, but I'm just a man on a beautiful Thursday. This is your man, Montezy, and I thank you guys for tuning in to the first official live stream, Teezy's Table on YouTube, doing something a little different. You know, a lot of the fans wanted me to, you know, embark in the live stream festivities, you know, and I wanted to be able to show people love and interact more with you guys, the fans, because, you know, that's what it's all about. Thank you guys for supporting me for all these years. You know, just reached my 10-year anniversary, and I'm more blessed and happy to be here, you know what I mean, and to be able to continue to give you guys great content, whether it's the music, whether it's the, you know, the YouTube content, TZ's Top Fives, anything you name, I'm happy to be here, and I'm blessed to be here for another healthy, happy day exclusive on TZ's Table. Peace, King. Peace to the Queens. Thank you, guys. But before I get into anything, I want to be able to give a shout-out to the sponsors. Shout-out first to Downtime in the Ring. Those are my guys out of New Mexico, one of the dopest podcasts out there, podcasts I'm mentoring. You know what I mean? Shout-out to you guys, man. Donovan and the team, love you guys. Thank you guys for supporting and sponsoring TZ's Table. You already know what's good. Shout-out to my man Kelvin from No Gimmicks. For the No Gimmicks podcast, shout out to you guys for supporting as well. You guys have been dope. Thank you, Kelvin, for all the love, support, and building. And send me some beats, man. Send me some beats. You know what I mean? You're a dope producer, and you don't promote your music enough. So please, send me some beats. Before I get anything, too, I want to give a shout out to my whole team, man. Shout out to my brother, Rich Lotta, man. He is producing majority of the new AEW project coming out in a few weeks. Shout out to my guy, Rich Lotta, man. He's shown nothing but love to me. A great teammate, the producer for me, Swerve, and many other guys on the team. Shout out to him. Shout out to my brother, Anthony King, the soul of the group. Shout out to my brother. Shout out to Katana, known as the Oracle in the group. They're both on a new AEW project coming out next week. Shout out to those guys, the guys on the team, featured on the album, and show love to those guys as well. One quick thing I want to bring up before I introduce my wonderful guest is that my new album, Erica's Son 2, is now out on all streaming platforms. I put this album out a month ago, and as of today, it's been a month, and this has been my highest debut on any project I ever had streaming-wise. 16 songs for the spirit, for the soul. Thank you guys for showing love. I truly appreciate you guys. Hit me up. Comment what's your favorite song on the album. You know, I've been doing the wrestling stuff so long, a lot of people didn't know. You know what I mean? That I'm a spiritual person and I have a whole nother side of me and I have a regular life like everybody else. So thank you guys for supporting. Hit me up what your favorite song is and let's show love on the streaming and platform because, you know, the streaming numbers be kind of crazy on how they pay us. So every stream and everything counts. But enough about me and all the superlatives. I am here sitting with a man that I truly respect, not only as a human being, but, you know, his vision, what he's doing, what he's been doing for years. We've always been cool, always had a great relationship for years, as both of us have been pioneers in what we're doing. But this man drove all the way here from the Carolinas to be here on this show on his own dime, didn't have to, but he's doing this for his friend, his brother, and he saw the table. He loved what we're bringing to the culture, so he is you know, he's here as not only a guest, but as a brother, a friend of the show, my man, Mr. Darius Lockhart. What is good, brother?
What's good, brother? How you doing?
Peace, King. Peace, King. Absolutely. How you doing, man? First of all, I go into the first thing on the show. How you doing? How's life?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. Life is tedious and fast-paced and pulling a lot of directions, but it's good. I'm thankful for it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. So, you know, the thing that I always like to bring up when I first talk to my guests and I first have these conversations with people is just to see how they're doing, you know, and because life has a way of pulling you here, pulling you there. As you know, we're going to get into what you're doing now, but to see what, you know, life can bring you, I'll just like to do a mental health check to see how you're doing, how you feeling, how's everything going, you know, and before I, and also before I continue, I also want to give you your flowers. First off, just as a man and seeing what, you know, what you've done to reinvent, just as in this crazy entertainment industry, this is crazy.
Yeah.
For you to, as a man that I know that's just standing on his morals and standing on what you believe in, I just want to give you your roses first, bro.
I appreciate that, brother.
So what brought that in you as a man? Because you've always been a person that seemed to stand very square, just square on your morals and beliefs.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You know what I mean? What brought that up as a young man?
You know, I was just one of those kids who had older parents. You know, my mom and my dad had me at 37, 38. And so, you know, they came from the old school. They didn't play. And I see the picture of that's cute. And then they also, they have a thing where they just kind of instill those values into me of, you know, don't let us catch you fooling around and don't fool around. You know what I mean? Like, you know, always behave, you know, you represent us, but also, you know, there are people who are going to try to put you in a box and everything like that. So you kind of got to keep your head above water and understand that there'll be people who are always trying to contain you to one thing, or, you know, or any of those things, or just people who try to knock down your shine. So, you know, it was always committed to not being one of those people and just being good to other people. Cause, you know, I was an empathetic kid. I knew how it felt to be slighted. I knew how it felt to, you know, be picked on or always having to perform to be, feel like you're good enough. And so I resented that notion that anyone had to feel like that. So I kind of want to make it where I didn't make anybody else feel like that, at least not to, you know, my intention to do that. So that coming into, you know, learning more, paying attention, going to school, and I was already, you know, just always in my culture and everything like that, living with people day to day, just my experience, my life experience. But I joined a learning community in college that just kind of changed my perspective. Had me, you know, they have required you to take either a human sexuality course or an African diaspora studies course. And I chose the latter just because I hadn't had too much foray into it beyond what public school teaches you. And we know what public school teaches you. So they kind of opened my eyes to really what reality I'm living in and really what reality has kind of been imposed on me as a spirit. So I was just kind of like, okay, this is where I stand in the world. This is what people perceive. But let's move beyond that. Let's speak beyond that. Let's lift beyond that. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to, not to be long with it, but it's always been in me, but it's just been amplified the last few years as I grow and learn every year by year what it is to be a man or a human in this concept.
Absolutely. You know, I say this because, you know, I also try to, I grew up with my granddad teaching me, it was called the square spirit. And what I mean by square is it's, you try to be even keel, you know? And I had to learn a long time ago in this respective lane that we're in and in the world that we're in the entertainment business of how to keep my levels of my emotions in a good spot in this, you know, and I've always respected you because, you know, you've, every time we met, every time we talked, you've always been just very, very cool.
Thank you.
You know, very laid back, and you seem very, very focused on a man of self. You know, that is in peace with his inner spirit. Yeah. And that's the kind of people that I kind of attract to now, as opposed to back in the day, you just be hustling and grinding, and you meet all different sorts of people.
For sure.
But as you get older, and you start to develop your more inner conscience and your inner self, you start to attract like-minded people. And I've always respected you, and that's why I reached out to you to try to come on the platform, because I wanted this to kind of be a chop-up game. Kind of thing. And also, I also just learned about you, you as a man. So how did the form of wrestling come into the upbringing of, you know, your wonderful parents coming up as a youth? How did the form of wrestling come into it?
Wrestling was, it came into my life at a time where I was actually 12. Like, I saw it when I was younger, but it was just like what the older kids were doing, you know? At that point, age of 12, my parents had split apart. I think I was 10 when they split. And I was staying with moms, but seeing my dad often enough. But I was always imaginative spirit. I'm an only child. Didn't really have any siblings. So even when my parents were together, whatever, they're working. They're keeping the lights on. But they interact with me. They spend time. But when I'm alone, which you're only child, you're often alone. The creative juices get flowing. You know, my parents weren't raising me. My grandmother wasn't raising me. Television was. You know what I mean? I was always into media, into communication, into outlet. And one day, a kid just recommended it to me, and it sparked my imagination. I didn't get wrestling at first. I thought I knew what it was as a kid, and being like, oh, that stuff's not, you know, this not that. And one day, I watched it and had an emotional reaction to it. And I said, oh, I get what this is. And continuing to follow it and understanding that the relationship between the performer and the audience is not just a show. It's not just entertainment. It's responsibility. It's a relationship. It's in every sense of the word. Watching Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, 2008, Royal Rumble, that was the match that changed my life before the bell even rang. Because Jeff Hardy's entrance in Madison Square Garden that night was so strong, and those people put their faith in him. And to see, there's a camera shot that I'll never forget. He's standing on the second rope facing the audience on the second turnbuckle, and it pulls out from his lower back to see, like, him looking upon the audience. And you see that there's a sense of responsibility that he has with there to win, responsibility to deliver on his promise, responsibility on to try his best. Because ultimately, whether he fails or wins, the people are there and they want to see him do that. And I thought that's such a connection and such a strong thing to walk through in life, but to also hold their responsibility. You don't take it lightly. And neither did my parents, and any responsibility that I had, they taught me not to take it lightly. So to see that you could move people and touch people that powerfully through pro wrestling, it really, like, reinforced, maybe this is something I want to do with my life. You know?
Mm. You know, and so you take that and that motivation to get into pro wrestling. So, you know, the thing I want to know is, what did you have to learn about building relationships and learning to navigate yourself kind of in a room full of vultures in ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did you learn, you know, not only in your come up, but how did you learn how to navigate relationships in this, to be able to succeed in this business? How did that go for you?
Through failure, you know, me being such an empathetic child, growing into an empathetic man, and also being someone who really believed in the treat people how you want to be treated, realized that you get old enough, you realize not everyone follows that rule. And so sometimes you have to lose friends in ugly ways. Sometimes you have to get turned on. Sometimes people have to do you dirty. And you realize, damn, not everybody is my friend. Man, I can't trust everyone. Man, not everyone's looking out for me. Okay, identify those that do, or actually rely on yourself, knowing you can trust him, and kind of move with that power and kind of move accordingly. You know, be very, I think the word is, practice discernment. That's what I'm trying to do. It definitely taught me how to practice discernment just through experience, man, getting knocked down.
Yeah. that's what it does, man. It'll have you sit back and say, well, wow. Not questioning your purpose, but it just has you look at things in a different way, because some things can happen, you'd be like, well, am I supposed to be doing this?
No, 100%.
And you know, I think it's just part of human nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's part, you know, I think it's just the ups and downs, the yin and yang of us as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, and have that understanding. So can you give us a motivation story about maybe some hard time you had that, you know, something you had to overcome, you know what I mean? Something that, you know, the people can take and say, you know what? I went through this in this lane, or I went through this in this situation and I overcame it. Okay. Yeah. Something you want to speak on?
I mean, you know, I'm a walking testimony. I think that, you know, what I'm going through, or what I'm just at the tail end of going through now, is just, you know, some hard times I've had to go through. You know, we're looking at, from, I would say, 2019, actually, really, 2016, I started really, like, look back. Into 2015, I started really falling into what I realized was a depression, but it took me a while to realize what it was. Just because, you know, as men, we're so in denial of, oh, that can't, I can't affect me. I got to keep pushing. No one's going to care. I got to keep pushing. And it got to the point where things kept kind of crowding on and you can't just keep pushing. The car got a lot of miles on it. The engine's a little, the engine light's on, you know what I mean? 2021, I was already kind of coming out of something. I think we did, I tore my pec in early 2019. And that was like a sit your ass down moment, okay? Then COVID happens. So now I can't even go to the doctor to get fixed. I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. We go from that to coming out of COVID. Bam, first match back, I'm ready. My dad dies the same week. And, you know, car accident. Jesus, not really.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
brother.
You know, it's. I hate to say it happens, but it's one of those ugly moments where it's. I wasn't prepared for it. You know, just ready to just come back and kick ass wrestling. Things were going good. Like I said, first week back, I had bookings lined up for 2 months, and then they tell you, oh, well, you know, your dad's gone, car accident, can't do anything about it. You know, whatever issues we, him and I may have had, or splits him and I may have had. Well, it's your problem now. You can't make peace with him. So it's. It was one of those things where that set me down even further, even though I tried to go through it. I tried to have my little moment of like, maybe this would be inspiration. Maybe I can do it for him. And as that goes on, you know, things were happening for me. You know, major companies take a look at me. You know, people, more followers, people start gassing. We want to see you succeed. And you want to see yourself succeed. But it's kind of hard to show up and not even show up, but show up as what you've asked, what you've presented, and what you've, like, wanted people to expect or perceive you as. You now have to be the revolutionary. You now have to be the intergalactic soul. You now have to be the honorable brother. Not all the time, but enough to make the right decision. Your career is about to blow up. Do you want to do left or right? You want to sit down or you want to go? And throughout me saying, I'm a go, got hurt. You know, I think my second or third match for AEW got concussion 4 minutes into the match. And it was another sit down moment. Same year I lost my dad. So I just didn't really see it coming. Tried to get back on that bike again as soon as I was clear, like the next week. And it was just too soon, you know, just too soon. And not even on a physical thing, but on an emotional thing. And I was just trying to be present. I didn't want to lose my moment. But, you know, what God has for you is for you, right? Or, you know, what life has for you is for you, whatever you believe in.
Absolutely.
And going through that, like coming back and being seized, like given presented opportunities that you're like, man, because I am so, like, taken here with it, taken there with it, there's all these things affecting me. You don't know if the depression you went into the year is affecting you. You don't know if the grief from your father is affecting you. You don't know if your personal relationships that are failing you, like the people that turn on you, like we spoke earlier, is failing
Absolutely.
You. You don't know if it's the concussion. You don't know what's affecting you. You're just emotional, and you're just speaking, and you feel things harder, and things mean more to you. And when you're at a situation where you're like, that your morality is on the line, or someone, you know, is wanting to just kind of use you or just put in a position to where, like, you know, they just see what you can do for now. And if you can't deliver, then on to the next toy. You kind of start realizing, you know what? There's a personal peace. There's a personal responsibility I have to myself. And there's a personal, no, we'll go with that. Personal responsibility I have to myself to stand this moment and go, what do you need, Darius? You're trying to be everything for everybody else. You're trying to deliver on your promise to everybody else.
Ooh.
You're trying to fix everything. But what can you fix yourself? What do you need right now? And it was the moment where I realized I was counting down my dates to when I could stop. That I was like, yeah, you need to go for a little bit. You know what I mean? I just didn't need to go. Because, you know, at the same time, I was hitting walls with companies. People don't want to give things to you because they're afraid of what you represent. People will gaslight you. This industry will gaslight you. And I hate to be therapeutic buzzword of the moment, guys, but gaslighting is a real thing. The industry will gaslight you.
Absolutely.
As a performer, as a black performer, as a male performer, as a woman performer. It just does. It just doesn't matter what, you know, you are. And all those things together as a cocktail was just like, we talked about the pivot before the camera goes. We got to pivot. Otherwise, there's going to be nowhere to pivot. You know what I mean? So I went home, and it was supposed to be 2 months sabbatical. I was supposed to have stuff on the other side of that 2 months that was supposed to be exciting, but it got 1 month in, I canceled it all. It was just like, I don't want to be here right now. I don't need to be here right now. If I'm there right now, I don't know if it's going to go how people want it to go.
Right.
And I don't think I'm going to be who I need to be. And at that point, you start analyzing everything. We're playing. I mean, you're talking about pro wrestling. I hate to ramble. I'm sorry if this.
No, go ahead. Please talk. You're on a roll.
Yeah. You're talking about pro wrestling. This is not only a morality play, but to an extent, it's method acting. We live these characters. We breathe these characters. We're thinking of, you know, how does this, and if it's a part of you, it's even deeper, then it's really method acting.
Right.
And then you're in the midst of this performance, but that's also entangled into you. And then now you're like, okay, am I leaning into this person, this human being, the intergalactic soul? Am I leaning into this because it's a safety net, or is it a trauma response at that point?
Mm.
So you do, at that point, you have to realize, you know what? Let's figure this out. And let's not bump while we're doing it. Let's not get hurt again while we're doing it. And that ended up being in about a year and a half break. But the concept of pivoting is one of the hardest things I've had to learn, and one of the things I'm still working through learning right now. Ashe itself is a pivot in a lot of ways. And it's an adventure in a lot of ways. It's exciting. It's terrifying, but it's a pivot nevertheless. And you want to lean into fear, because that's where the good things happen.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes the lesson's in that.
You know, before I get to Ashe, before I get there,
yeah. You
know, you mentioned your father.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of going through the same situation. Mm. I'd be open and transparent. Me and my dad don't really have the closest relationship right now. And I pray that, you know, one day we can mend.
Yeah.
But just being honest, how, you know, that relationship with you and your pops, was it always friction, or did you guys just grow and then you kind of have different ideologies and rest his soul, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just want to, you know, it's difficult. I spoke to Kevin Knight, and he had, with his pops and not knowing his father, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that relationship and how you were able to overcome it, especially knowing that he passed and being able to recover from it. It's a scar. You know, you don't 100%. It's a scar you live with, but you know what I mean? Talk to me about that relationship.
But, you know, it's a scar, but what it is also it's a brush on the paint, on the canvas.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
It's a brush on the canvas.
Yes, sir.
But, to preface this, I saw this on the way down here, a video, before I headed down here, really, of someone saying, you know, my father took me as far as he could, gave me as much as he could, and death teaches you to see a person in three-dimensionally.
Wow.
In terms of, hey, this man did what he could because he was affected by this. Yeah, he was a father to you. He may not have done this for you, but look at what was done for him, and look at what wasn't done for him. Look what how he tried to show up.
Mm.
One thing that I can always say is my father was always attempting to be there for me. He always tried. He was very excited about me. He loved me. I do know that. We grew up with friction because a little bit, you know, there were certain things in the household that I'd rather not go on. But
absolutely.
But you know, there are also personal issues and things that, you know, kinda they inform relationships. And sometimes you know, you get in that concept of performing masculinity. Everyone knows, you know, people, anyone, black male can tell you, if you sit like this too long, someone gonna say something. You know what I mean? If you been around your mama too long, you know, stuff like that. You know, there was friction in terms of, you know, understanding what, you know, being a man was supposed to be.
The concept of manhood.
The concept of manhood.
Right.
That was always a thing that I was trying to understand, because I wanted to learn it from him, but I wasn't always understanding what I was looking at as, or I didn't identify it as what I wanted to be as a man.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Bingo.
Okay.
We talking.
So there's like the split, but there's also the desire to love and also lean into the father you have, because you have a father.
Absolutely.
Some people don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I'm very thankful he was in my life. But you know, by the time my parents split, I knew they needed to. It was one of those things. I was like, yo, I was rooting for it. Like, yo, let's bounce. Like, he'll be all right. I'll see him. Let's bounce. You know?
Yeah.
But and as we stayed in touch, obviously, we lived in the same cities growing up and everything like that. I saw my father regularly. But pro wrestling was really the big divide. He did not like me doing pro wrestling. Specifically after he saw an incident where I got shot on in pro wrestling. And it was, you know, for people who don't know, people shoot on you. It's when someone tries to take advantage of you in the ring and hit you for real when it's not scripted. You know what I mean? So he saw that and he was very, very angry. And understandably, it's your son. You want to protect him. And he wanted me to quit and I didn't want to quit. And that was just that right there for like the last few years of his life. That was the conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, son, love you. How you doing? Love you too. Doing all right. When you quit in wrestling? Okay. You know what I mean? And I think one of the last times I saw him in person, we'd argued about it. And I was like, I don't know. Let's not talk for a little bit. Let me get a break. And the week I was supposed to come back to wrestling, the night of, I was wrestling Brian Keith for the culture. And my dad says, he texts me, he goes, hey, trying to stream your show, trying to stream your match. how can I watch it? I'm trying to find it. Don't know where to look up. And I'm like, okay, don't worry. I'll show you when I see you. And then, you know, he passed before I got to see him. It was like a few days later. So that is like a thing where, yeah, there was friction, but it seems a little, I don't want to say petty. It's all very real. Wrestling's real. Life's real. This is all very real. But it's still a thing where you, I don't know. I'm still working through it.
Yeah, I think
it's very fresh, you know.
I do that because, you know, me and my father growing up, I was very we was very close. I was my hero.
Yeah.
And still some way he is, even though we haven't you know, spoken. Or maybe it's I don't know, really. I gotta do a deeper dive into it spiritually between us.
Yeah.
I noticed I went through some changes mentally.
Yeah.
And I think too, you know, when I went into music, he was like, man, like normal parents, you need to get a job, you need to do this, you know, and understandably, he wants to protect to make sure I have a future and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is who I am. This is my spirit. If I don't do what I love, I'm not going to be happy, you know? And I think a lot of time with men, it becomes, especially as the young lion, it's like the young lion and the old lion. Eventually you got to kick him out the pride.
Yeah.
And it's never really a good thing. He's a teenager. He's, you know, he's an old man. And it's like, okay, you got to get out the pride.
Mm.
And, you know, if you watch anything about the Discovery Channel with lions, it's never a pleasant thing when you see the top lion has to kick his son out because his son's got a mane and he's a grown man now. It's like, all right. And, but it's funny because now that my son's 13, I totally change it. How I approach it.
I have to.
I support them.
Mm.
Hey, what you want to do, man? Oh, you want to draw? How can I help? That's what my granddad did for me when I got into music.
But see, life, God, energy, whatever, it will give you what you were missing or what you need.
Bingo.
To the next person.
Bingo.
And just like they'll give you, you know, your father gave you what he could, you're giving your son what you can. And
right.
It's a lot more than your father because we're trying to get stuff back. It's all equity. And sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
But life is a path of equity. So I'm just
absolutely like that's and that's the thing. It's like it's learning. This is why I love having this conversation. It's because it's learning how can you bring value to somebody that's not always monetary. It's not always, well, you know, I'm a man, I take care of the house, and that's what men are supposed to do. And that's kind of like how my pops was raised, and a lot of men are raised. But now I notice as we're becoming a culture of especially black men, we're learning that. That's not always just the way. Like, okay, you got food on the table, but how are you, son? How are you, my daughter?
Right.
Who are you as a person?
Right.
Like, you know, and it's funny because all I hear about is stories about, hey, you know, my dad gave me everything, but he didn't show up to my baseball games. Or he wasn't able to, and I'm like, I'm not going to be that father.
No, of course.
That's why I was like, you know, when I get my kids every other weekend.
Yeah.
I shut everything down.
Yeah, that's real.
I don't do nothing.
It's time.
Montezzi don't exist. This is Antoine. This is Dad.
That's real.
What you guys want to do?
That's real.
Let's go hang out. Let's have some fun. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the movie theater. Let's go to the park. Let's go to the restaurant. And I just try to spend as much quality time with them. I put the phone down, and I just spend time. I watch my daughter play my video games. I just shut everything down. Mm-hmm. But that's what I learned. That's why I asked you about your pops, was just learning to see how, as another black man, maybe we had the same...
Similar. I mean, we did in some ilks.
But
some things are also off camera, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Off camera. But, you know, right. What we can say is what we can say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We hear.
But
we
I feel you, there is that split, and it's never easy. But it's something that it teaches you, you know, your own element of masculinity. It redefines what you perceive as manhood.
Absolutely. During this reinvention, you're forced to sit down for a bit. Whether it's forced to or you just chose to, a little bit of both. And you have to go through a rewiring process during this time. And like you said, the pivot is tough. That's the thing that's a lot of times is hard is the rewiring when you're so used to something. Your brain is so used to doing something some way. Then life, God, or, you know, whoever you know, the higher power will sit you down and say, okay. Brother, it's time. That process, that reinvention process, is very, very difficult for a lot of people. That's why when I was watching your journey, I'm like, I wonder how Darius is doing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it was very quiet. And then I saw Ashe pop up. And I was like, he got it. And I was rooting for you. And when I saw you just be one day, I just randomly scrolled my social media and I saw the flyer.
Yeah.
And I said, my man. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And you know, I'll just watch it for a bit. And like I said off camera to you, I'm just so proud.
Thank you.
Just to see somebody can pivot, reinvent, and it's not something where they reinvent and it's not all about them.
Mm, right.
You've reinvented with Ashe Wrestling, and you've taken this and just the brand, the way the presentation. I know this during this time off you had, it took a lot of planning.
Yeah.
You took a lot of thinking. Mm-hmm. And the way that you did it and the way the pieces are, and me watching the show, and a lot of my homies are on the show, and just seeing how you did it. Yeah. I know this was a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's not easy, and I know you're still in the infant stages of building of where you want it to be.
Absolutely.
But tell me a little bit about the concept.
Amen.
You know, where it all started and how did Ashe Wrestling come into play? How did this all start?
It started on a couch in North Carolina with me and Saif Al-Sabah just talking and just thinking of like, man, you know, this is a cool idea. Man, someone should do that on the wrestling show. This is a cool idea. Someone should do it on the wrestling show. Man, if we had a wrestling show, what would it look like? Oh, it'd be cool if someone, if we did this and this and this and this. And we had curated and we had realized we had made a hybrid of a bunch of things we just grew up liking, whether that's, you know, 106 in Park, a little bit of In Living Color, Wild and Out, and everything like that. We were just kind of just pitching ideas. And I said, I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to do that. And he was like, you should, you know, just kind of loosely saying it. And like a couple months later, I was touring in England. I was living there for about 4 months. And I think, I won't go into too much shooter mode, but there was something said where I was just like, it's something said in a public interview or public space that I was just like, man, that was really ignorant. But you know what? It showed me that Ashe Wrestling was more needed than ever. You know what I mean? And it was just like, and at the time it wasn't even Ashe, it was Vendetta. It was like, we wanted to do the Def Jam thing, right? Everyone wants to do the Def Jam thing. And that's why we didn't do the Def Jam thing, because I saw how many people were doing it. It was like, we got to do something else. Seeing that and it, me pitching the ideas, I was pitching ideas to people in 2019 for stuff we're just about to do in a couple months and that people aren't even ready for, you know what I mean? It's really crazy. But I was just like, man, what if this? What if that? What if that? And people were like, yo, if you do it, we'll get it ready. You know, we were saving money up, but like we're friends. Me and a few other wrestlers, like, we'll put the money in together. We were plotting money, sending money every week. And then the COVID happened and we were like, all right, sit down. The money just set in an account for like years, just boom, right there. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool. If it happens, it happens. And, you know, that it became like Shug D is the Pan-African world champion.
Shout out to Shug.
Shout out to Shug. He always laughs. He compares it to Ray's Boom Boom Room or whatever they're talking about in life. When he's like, he compares it to Ray's Boom Room, but he also compares it to Collateral with Jamie Foxx and it's Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yes.
And great movie. One of my favorite Tom Cruise movies, actually. But Jamie Foxx is always dreaming about island limos. And the way I would talk about it, he was just like, man, you always, you know, you're always pitching the idea. You know exactly what it looks like. I just can't wait to see if you do it one day. And I was always like, yeah, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm about to get the money and the funding. So I'm going to do it. And then life happened and, you know, my shutdown happened. And I didn't want to see wrestling. Didn't want to look at wrestling. Didn't want to feel it. And it just kind of was weird in a lot of weird ways. And just had to kind of healthily get back to it. And I moved in with an old friend that I hadn't seen in years. We just kind of reunited, kicked it off. He needed a roommate. And I was like, sure, you know, I'll stay with you for a little while. I'll help you out, you know, just for a little bit. We were going to do a few months. And he had never seen wrestling before in his life. And I got to show it to him and show how I perceive wrestling. And to see him fall in love with it and see what he fell in love with, the simplicity, it reminded me why I like it and why I love it. So I was like, you know what? Eventually it was like, it's time to get off your ass and do it. You know, everyone hates the guy who talks shit and then don't do it. Like, I'm going to do this, and then you never do it.
Yeah, nobody likes that dude.
Yeah, I didn't want to be that guy. I never want to be that man. I've always wanted to be a man who does what he says he's going to do. And it just got to be that time where I'm like, well, either do it or should it get off the pot? I was like, no better time than the present. Just cash in now. See what you can do. And I knew how I wanted to look. I hibernated and thought about it for a long time. And it was just a matter of just execution and just the right pitch to the right people at the right time. coming with my chin up and just thinking, like, having to believe it, you know? And I think that's where we got to it. Eventually, I just kind of saved money, made some smart investments, and we flipped it and did this. So, yeah.
So, who's some of the people, because I always like to shout out the people, who are some people that's on your team? Obviously, you had to build this up. Mm-hmm. So, you can't do this alone. You're the promoter. You're the man mm-hmm. heading it. So, obviously, with that being the case, you can't run a production, get musicians, wrestlers, and do all this alone. So, who's some of the people that's on your team that helps you put this in fruition, that's helping with the show?
Yeah, man. So, you know, there are people who are coming in and out. I'm working with a lot of, generally speaking, I'm working with a lot of Charlotte creatives, a lot of, Charlotte graphic designers, Charlotte musicians, whatever like that, who can send me things and work with me and kind of point me in the right direction of how to curate or show something off. But also, there was Scotty from Enjoy Wrestling. Scotty Schwimba from Enjoy Wrestling was a very good help. I had some really good business with Enjoy Wrestling a few years ago, and we've always stayed in touch. I love the way they do things. Their production was slick. And I knew what I kind of had in mind for the way we wanted to present this. So I was like, Scotty was in mind. There's a guy by the name of, It's Patrick Price, who now works for a different company. But he used to work for PWX and was the switch guy. And he kind of, I told him the idea, and we kind of worked with, like, okay, this is where what this needs to look like. Could you help me with this? I need the production to look like this. Yes. And eventually he couldn't even do the job because he got a really good paying gig. But he pointed me to the people who could do the job. And it became a sense of community. I love someone who, okay, cool. Chris Lee. Who's basically the head of our broadcast team. He is a shoot reporter for, local news. He's done some stuff with CBS, but he's also a former pro wrestler. And we met trying to cut our teeth at CWF Wrestling back in Burlington, North Carolina, when I was first starting out, my first year of wrestling. He walked out of pro wrestling just because it was time for him to transition to something else. He had kind of had contractual obligations with news networks and things like that. They can't really have you break your neck and then reporting the news. So he got out the biz, but now he's using this superpower to help me with commentary. Billy Dixon is also a big help. He's been making his own visions come to life with Paris is Bumping, with Pro Wrestling Vibe, with things like that. And so he's also a person I bounce ideas off of. So Billy Dixon, Chris Lee, Scotty Schwimba, Patrick Price, now Kevin Pierce, who's a part of Superdraw Production. He used to run production back at PWX as well. He's helped us a lot. There's so many people to name, dude. I don't want to. But in terms of Eugene Bennett, who's our videographer, who's Shaded Productions, who if you've seen our top five videos or any of our highlight videos, he's usually on them. It's just been really. And that came with people reaching out. Just the luxury of community. It's just the luxury of community.
Building relationships like we spoke about earlier. And seeing the platform, seeing how it's presented, watching it. I'm always watching because, my boy Kevin was like, yo, I'm about to go to Asha. I was like, yo, man, I got to watch that show. No, he's doing it. So I'm watching and I'm looking at I look at everything as a creative different. I look at it from the vision and not necessarily just the product at hand. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, I'm more impressed of how you pieced everything together.
Thank you.
And how you probably, like you said, watched a lot of what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. And then you put your own oregano.
That's it.
And pepper and salt into it.
That's it.
You get inspiration from other people. Okay, I'm going to take this, but I'm going to go this way. Yeah. And once you see everybody going here, it's best to go there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And even though nothing's new under the sun, there is a new way to stand under the sun. Yeah.
And, they're new hybrids all the time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, there used to not be a Kid Cudi. There used to not be a Kanye West. Then they were both, and then now there's a Travis Scott.
Right.
You know what I mean? So sometimes you don't get those things without ingredients. And this Ashe is just a bowl of gumbo of most of my favorite ingredients, my favorite eras of pro wrestling for specific companies, and my favorite entertainment that I grew up watching. You know, I mentioned In Living Color. There's a joke that I always call myself with Chris Lee. I call myself Keenan Ivory Heyman because I love ECW.
Yes.
But it was not even the general what ECW was, but the spirit of Paul Heyman knowing how to present someone to their strengths, hide their weaknesses, lean on what people are good at, and seeing people who they are when the industry says, I don't get it. He got it. A lot of people in the gay balls Mahoney a chance. He got it. And there's some people like that I just want to lean into, and I say, I get it. Let's lean into it. Let's run it. And I think that meets the amalgamation of all the things I love. It's been a healthy gumbo.
that's, you know, one thing I want to give you credit to, but also ask you this question is, not many people are fit to be the head of something. Some people are better, some people are better working with somebody, working with the person that somebody, that's the person. But for you to be the head of it, what has been the transition? Has there been any difficulties? What has been the transition from saying, okay, yeah, I'm working with these other companies, but now I'm going to put chips in and bet on myself. What has been the challenges that has come with this?
The hardest challenge is finding room for myself, you know, trying to make this a place of of equity and to really be genuine in my efforts and not make it the Darius Lockhart show, but still also feeding the brand of Darius Lockhart. It's been a difficult balance, you know. I don't want to put myself to Ashe, but I also at the same time, you know, I want to be a performer as well. That's not out of my heart. You know, I still know that I can tear it up in the ring. But this thing takes so much time. It takes away from my, you know, time in the gym. It takes away from my, you know, time with myself. It takes away my time to really work out. Do like in wrestling and ring, because I'm always having to talk to this person, talk to that, make sure the graphic's right, make sure this. So, and also make sure I write the show or draft the show or book the show to where it's not too much of me, but it's enough for everybody, and having to make sure that coincides as well and being a good booker or a booker that is worth something. But you know, it's a hard challenge, but that's the biggest thing, the balancing act.
You know, and that's when I was watching, you know, I watched the show, and when I'm watching it, I understand that balance because it's like I'm kind of like at that point in my career, being in wrestling music for so long, it's like, okay, how do I still get my stuff in to where it's teasy, but I don't lose myself in that. And I can still understand, it's like, okay, how can I use my 10 years in this to help other artists, to help other people, to help be a building bridge for the connect, to help other people get theirs, because I've gotten mine, but at the same time, still be relevant enough to pay the bills.
Yeah.
To do what I have to do, you know what I mean?
And not putting a pause on TZ easy, because there's still more for TZ to get.
Exactly. And it's just that balance of saying, okay, what's that balance to say, okay, I can still do what I need to do, but also be a help to others. And I understand what you're saying, because when you start something and it's you're a selfless person, you have to channel in to say, okay, how do I make sure I'm happy?
Right.
You know, and even though, you know, this platform is to help many people, you know what I mean? And to execute my vision. Yeah. How do I make sure that I'm still pouring into Darius Lockhart?
I the only way I can hold on to it now is just the way I present myself, you know? And that's what I kind of lean on, because at the end of the day, you know, I don't want this to be the Darius Lockhart show, like I said. It's not for that. This is not a vanity project. But at the same time, I know I'm a star. At the same time, I know what I can bring to the ring. At the same time, I know my match quality. I know my speaking ability. I know my mind for the business. And I know what I could do ultimately long-term in my life if I choose to keep, you know, proceeding with pro wrestling. So I have to at least pay respects to that and pay respects to the people who've paid to see me at any point in time. And pay respects to the people who pay for a T-shirt to see, you know, for any given time. I think I don't really owe it to anybody, but I choose to lean into the responsibility that is being talented at what you do and being great at what you do. And I think that I think I'm great at what I do enough to where, if I choose to platform it with my own platform, I think that's okay a little bit, as long as it just ain't the whole platform.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that.
So it's just how I present myself to let you know that, hey man, I'm here and I'm an important part, and I'm a tide shifter, and I think I am, you know.
That's you know, I have to say this, because when we're in this, it's such a self-serving game that people get lost in that. And you know, like the great Kanye West said, no one man should have all that power.
Right.
And it's funny, because when people get power, a lot of times they don't use it the right way. And it either subconsciously ends up being about them or, you know, they don't treat people right, or they go the other way. They divulge so much and delegate so much that they start losing a part of themselves in the matter. You know, they start losing a part of who they are in the way of being able to, you know, build something for themselves. So outside of wrestling, what is stuff that you do to kind of balance that out from Darius, like outside of the wrestling business? What is stuff that you do to keep your mental clarity for your happiness, just for your for who you are as a man?
I try my best to lean into the people around me who I know mean well for me, the people who will encourage me on the days I have my chin down, the people who will remind me who I am a little bit. I like to lean into those people just because, you know, as an only child, you know, you're I'm not saying constantly seeking community, but it's nice when you get one. And so I like to kind of be present, or at least lean into the strength of my community, spend time with my loved ones. I like to travel. I like to learn. I will watch something that kind of feeds the monster of creativity that is Ashe. I like to, you know, find more parts. Where can we expand? What can we do? Music's a big part of my life. I'll sit and play with music sometimes. I just do different things for myself that that kind of stroke the creative ego, but also nurture that child that, you know, that might need some a little bit more company, a little community.
I know. Trust me, I know how I know how that goes. I know how that is. So how do you go about finding the dope musicians for your show? Because I'd be listening to, I'd be seeing clips and seeing some people probably, yo, these cats are dope. Don't be missing, bro.
I appreciate
like, these
that.
Dudes Thank are dope. I'll be listening. I'll be like, I'll be, you know, you promote who's on the show, and I'll click on the Instagram, listen to some of the clips. I'll be like,
yeah, you can't even hate. Yeah,
I'll be like, one thing I'm not, I'm like, I'm
hate,
man.
Never gonna hate, but I'm just saying, I'm just,
like, right.
But people just kind
of
like,
because a lot of artists hate on other artists. Like, you know
for
what I mean?
Sure. No, I mean, but there's been people who have, the people I use, sometimes their music sent to me. And I'm like, because the way it's, like, oh, this is my friend who did it, And I'm like, okay, we'll see. Some people are just trying to put their friends on. And then I click on it, and I'm like, this shit is hot.
Right.
Like, you know, this is, so when I say I can't even hate, I just say that sometimes. Like, I can't even hate on it. Like, this is hot.
Like, this is dope.
So some of them are nice surprises. But it really started as who I'm around. So the first show, we were supposed to have Tia Corinne. That was the idea. Who's coming out of North Carolina. Because we had shot a music video, like two of them, back to back, like a couple years ago. And the idea was that. And then life happens. And then, okay, cool. And then she was supposed to do show one. And she had a tear in her vocal throat. I think she had to get surgery. So it was like, okay, who do I know? Who do I know? And that parlayed us into Loot, which was like a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing. When we had met before. We were in the same city. So we kind of recognized each other. But
right.
It was still an easy layup there. But once Loot was the foundation, I wanted a recognizable enough name or someone on the rise that was going to get some attention. And I'm like, all right, now let's lean into what does North Carolina have to offer? And like I said, I lean into music. I'm a lover of music. The past, I guess, 5 years, I've really been hanging out with some musicians in North Carolina. There was a group out of Greensboro, Winston-Salem area called Steady Hype. I was like seeing them every other week, and I was like, all of you are booked when it's time to run this show. You know what I mean? And slowly I've either used some of their music or have extended the brand to them as well. And if not, it's still going to extend, you know? So I've just been lucky enough to know some dope musicians and have people who are friends of friends, but dope musicians, because Carolina's full of talent. Sometimes I just go to shows, like small, like bar shows, and just kind of hang around and be like, okay, no, that's fire what you just did there. Come talk with us. Come rock with us. And then it ends up just being one of those deals.
That's dope, man. You're going to the ground roots to find talent.
A little bit.
Which a lot of people don't
want to do. Well, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just a good point to make there. I heard Issa Rae say sometimes everyone's trying to network up, and they get so upset when the up doesn't want to pull them up, and they just hate at it. But that means you just got to network across.
Bruh.
So I got to just like lean
talk
into
about it.
Me. Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that people, let's dive into that real quick. You made a great point. That's the one thing I always tell people. Everybody just wants to do this all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, sometimes you just have to network here. Sometimes you got to pull somebody up because they're better for that position or that situation. You pull somebody up or across. And then eventually everybody goes up. Sometimes two people goes up in the connection.
Yep.
Sometimes that level across can bring you up to something else, because if you keep shooting up, sometimes it's not meant for that door at that time. Don't mean you're not going to get through it,
100.
But it's just a way you have to go about it. Sometimes I always tell people this in networking, and people live on TV, I'm going to look directly in the camera when I say this. You have to stop going for the general all the time and work with the soldiers. If you work with all the soldiers, you will get to the general. It's just natural life how it happens. If you work with all the soldiers and you have seven people speaking for you, you're going to meet the general. Instead of just trying to push past the soldiers, where the general at? It doesn't. A lot of times it don't work that way. You have to network. Like if I wanted to, like how I got to Music Soul Child, I'd have started networking with people around them. Eventually, music heard, well, okay, I rock with you.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people you have to work around. I'm just using that example of somebody who's at that high level of how
that's real.
I was able to work with somebody like that. It's just being able to work around. And that's a good point you said that, because with you going into the grassroots of the, like, kind of like you're doing the A&R thing. You're A&R-ing.
Basically, I mean, well, you know, Ashe is not supposed to just be a wrestling promotion. That's what people are kind of, I mean, it's sneaky backdoor the way I've done this, but it's going to be bigger. It's going to be more things. We're about to launch a couple of new branches in the next couple of months that people will see. It's small but big steps at the same time. I wanted to be kind of an A&R. I wanted to be kind of, hey, this is what's hot. And if you know to come to Ashe for what's hot, then Ashe is going to be hot. And that's always the kind of mind of it. It was something you said, and it hit my brain, and then it kind of left just right there. Good example. We were contacted, headed into the first show by Raleighwood, this collective out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And they were just kind of just a hub of creators, about four or five of them. And they were like, yo, we're throwing an event that's wrestling themed, we're throwing an event that's wrestling themed, and it's a concert, and it's gonna be fire, and we see your brand, and it's actually like wrestling but fly, so we're like, let's work together, you know what I mean, like, let's do it. And I'm like, we ain't even done our first show yet, but we'll rock with you. So we met up and we did like a skit where we were teaching them how to do like wrestling moves or whatever, supposed to be teaching them how to wrestle and for the concert. And one of the guys there's a lot of talented dudes, Joshua Raw, Les, the Genius, Ricky Ricardo. One of the guys, his name was Ruben Vincent. And
Ruben Vincent, he's dope.
Yeah.
He's fire. At the time,
he was Ruben Vincent. But, I mean, he was just, we met him. We did that skit in October, November. And then now
he's with Ninth, right?
Yeah, he's with Ninth. Yeah, Ninth and Rhapsody. And now, the other day I saw him on Sway, and I was like, all right, we was ahead of the curve. Let's go, Ruben. And we've been talking about trying to get him in for Ashe Show, too. The dates wouldn't line up. We were supposed to try to get him in April, and we just decided to pivot. But we'll probably see him at Ashe more too. But if you look on the YouTube channel, there's a skit and Ruben Vince is all in that thing, and so is the rest of the Hollywood clique. And shout out to those guys, honestly, they're amazing. But you know, we start there, and that's across. And now you never know what someone might be in 2 months. When I filmed that thing with Tia, she didn't have a track with the baby, but 4 months later, she had a track with the baby, and then she was at Rolling Loud, and then she was. So you can never count anyone out. If you're dope, you're dope. It doesn't matter how many eyes are on you, and you never know who's watching. So that's the thing of, like, maybe if I'm watching, maybe I can do something about it. Let's help each other out. You know, that's where it comes from.
And that's what it's all about, man. And plus, too, you got to have a good ear of knowing people. See, that's why it's funny you say this, because my biggest inspiration, one of my biggest inspirations musically, is Fonte from Little Brother.
Love him. Yeah.
So, you know, love Little Brother. Shout out to Pooh. I've had him on the podcast. I'm trying to get him here in Orlando to sit on the couch as well.
Yeah.
But those guys are really big motivators to me. You know what I mean? Rhapsody, everybody from that Carolina, Cole, everybody from that area. You know what I mean? But there's also a lot of people at the groundwork. Like, you had Loot. Like, I loved his very first project. I heard him from the Juggin song.
Bro, I was listening to Loot in high school.
Crazy,
because we were similar in age. We're maybe 1 or 2 years apart, if that. But I was a sophomore at North Mac, or junior at North Mac, and someone was like, "Yo, my boy Luke made this. Him and his boys." And we were just like, everyone was making music. People, I had friends who were rappers. They're like, "We making this." And they played me Luke stuff, and I was like, "Oh, this dude's hot." And I just always kept tab on him. And then now he's this dude. So it's funny to come around full circle.
Absolutely. See, and that's funny how that works. But I commend you because you're in that state, you're in your city, and you're putting people on where you're at. You know what I mean? You're doing the home base, the homegrown thing. You know what I mean? You're taking it, you're going out into, you're meeting your relationships. And that's the thing now I tell people about making it in the industry today. Mm. Whether it's wrestling, rapping, whatever. The days of you being Michael Jackson, dropping an album and just disappearing for 3 years and then going on tour and 4 years and then coming back, like doing the Prince, like, or somebody now doing like a Frank Ocean. Mm. It's very hard to do that, to just make music and just disappear. Mm-hmm. Now people got to have a reason to rock with you. Mm-hmm. They gotta see you. They gotta feel you, because people gotta choose to rock with you now, as opposed to the marketing back in the day. You could drop an album, be on MTV, and then that just kind of carries you. Now you gotta be in the grassroots. You gotta be seen. You gotta be one with the people. You gotta be the common man celebrity now, in a way, as an artist or as an entertainer, promoter. People gotta see you. They gotta touch you. They gotta talk to you. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a cool dude. I'm gonna support what he does. Mm-hmm. Now it's hand-to-hand networking, like I call it.
Absolutely.
More than ever to be able to be successful in this, because the days of saying, hey, guys, I'm a star. This is what I'm doing. Let's just walk in here and just support me, and then I'm just gonna disappear. And you know, nowadays you gotta retweet people more. You gotta comment, thank you. You gotta be more one with the people, and that's what I respect of what you're doing with Ashe so much, because I can tell you're one with the people. If you're a good person and you have something that people can see, they can feel it, they can see it, they can touch it. Oh man, Darius right there, I can go talk to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's out here with the people. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is his company, but he's here. Mm-hmm. He's not acting bigger than the program. He's with the fans. He's with the people. He's showing love. He's putting artists on. He's putting dope wrestlers on. Yeah. Not only is he's putting on a great match himself. Right. And people see that.
Yeah.
And that's why people support it.
Yeah.
You know, and watching what you're doing, it's just from afar I was watching. And it's funny because, like you said, you never know who's watching. Yeah. So I'm just watching the inception of Ashe, and I'm like, he really is about to take over something.
Thank you.
You are really about to change the game. You're going to be the person that, and I'm putting this in a great universe, you're going to be the person that gets a Rhapsody there. You're going to be the person that gets those people there, because nobody else is doing it.
And now
it's a black-owned business. Mm-hmm. So people can see that. Many entertainers and people are going to be like, oh, I can go there. Mm-hmm. I don't have to deal with the politics of such and such and such and such. Mm-hmm. I could pull up to Ashe in October and rock the crowd.
Absolutely.
Or I can get on the card.
Absolutely.
Or I can do media.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's accessible. You know, that's one of the things. It's, and I will apologize to people who have reached out to work with us and I haven't got back, because I'm doing a lot more than people realize. I'm answering emails. I'm trying to get marketing, everything. But There is the aspect of, like, yeah, this is accessible to where the staging just for everybody. There does need to be some level of star power and mystique or some able ability to carry, you know, a performance. But it's attainable, and the door is unlocked. You know what I mean? It's the time. You spoke to Michael Jackson earlier, MTV. The gatekeeper era is kind of, it comes and goes, but it's kind of on the back end.
It really is.
Now you can pull out a phone and be somebody tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You could be somebody tomorrow. And it don't take MTV to tell you Hawk Tua. But look what happened.
That girl's getting 30, 40,000 an appearance.
I wish I said it first. But you know what? She said it, and she was smart too, because now you can say anything and people will flock if it's the right moment, the right time, the right thing. It's accessible to you, but also I want to be able to make sure that the gatekeepers are people, like, you know, That is a thing that doesn't hold people back so much, because there are so many of my peers and myself included who've dealt with being in a room where, like, you belong there, you've worked there, the people can see it, and then that one person up top or a couple people up top are either afraid to take the risk or they don't get it. So you don't get it. You don't get the opportunity. You don't get the time. You don't whatever. And there's no one able to look outside themselves. I told you before, you know, I like to think I have a good ear. I have a good taste. But I like to go beyond my genres. You know what I mean? It won't just be hip hop for, you know, in pro wrestling and Ashe performances all the time. I want to be able to show that, you know, the lens is wide of what things can be and who people can be. So there is no box. So let's not stay in any boxes. Let's move left, right. Let's go everywhere. So, you know, there's opportunity for everyone to thrive here, because this is for the spirit of everyone, no matter what you embody, from a Trevor Aeon to a Rehan Inteas, from a Shelton Benjamin to, you know, a Kevin Knight. Those are two very different people. From Tootie Lynn to Karen, Bam Bam, Renee, you know, those are two very different people, but they both can thrive and exist in the universe because this is the world that we live in. Ashe is the world we live in, and that's all I'm bringing, you know, just showing you how to see a little bit differently.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, one thing I want to say, you know, for close is this, is that when you take something from the inception to build it to where you want to take it, a lot of times there's a lot of negativity and a lot of things that try to weigh you down during the process. You know what I mean? And I know through my pivoting and my transition to say, okay, how can I be of service, but how can I build something that is going to last in my name? Because now when you get to a certain point, it's about legacy. You try to have all these 15 million goals for yourself and do things of that nature, but then you sit back and say, what's my legacy? When I'm done and I retire from this, what did I build? You know, what's my Montesi tree?
Yeah, I said with Mark Henry a few like months ago when he said tombstone shit. Like, what's going on the tombstone?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it speaks to.
Yeah. What's going on the tombstone? What's your legacy? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. The year you lived and you passed, what's the story in between that dash? Who did you help?
Yeah.
What tree? Like, you're building now a Darius Lockhart tree.
Yeah.
That people that might have came under you that's going to do big things. Or you networked across.
I hope so. Yeah.
That's part of your tree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, in closing, the one thing I want to do is I always have the guests look into the camera and give any advice to anybody that wants to accomplish and live their dreams. You know what I mean? This will obviously be clipped up and sent to the masses.
Yeah.
Look into the camera to anybody, anything motivational about achieving their goals and their dreams.
Yeah. When it comes to negativity, when it comes to what people might say or may not say, first things first, you can't make yourself available to it. I heard Roman Reigns say that one time. You cannot make yourself available to it. It doesn't concern you how people feel. If it's raw, if it's real, if it's you, put it out there, see what happens. Someone's going to like it. If you like it enough, I promise you, there's someone else who's going to like what you like because there are people who like what you like already. You might like Earth, Wind, and Fire. There's a lot of people who like that. So you might make something you love, and there's going to be a lot of people who love that too. It's just all about sticking to your guns and seeing your vision through, making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it for your reasons. You're not doing it for clout. You're not doing it for judgment. You're not doing it to absolve your name. You're doing it for, you know, your heart, your speed, and not letting anything deter you from that. I know that's vague, that's general, but I'm a quick promo, but give me some time to write some bars. I got you later on. but I think honestly, truthfully speaking, you have everything you need, whether you realize it or not. And if it's something you don't have, it's probably physical. And you got what you need to get that too, so you'll be okay. Just stay tuned, stay patient, and living yourself and your means and your truth and your power. Don't share it for anybody. Don't take a knee. Keep standing, you know? That's all I got.
Amen, man. You know, hopefully, you know, we put this in the universe. If everything works out, I would love to bring the Teasers Table platform Tasha someday.
That'd be fire.
Live podcast someday.
That'd be fire.
You know what I mean? And we can have a conversation with you know, whoever you think would be great to sit at the table, you know, the artists, the people, and hopefully bring, you know what I mean, we'll talk.
No, I got some ideas for that. No, that sounds good.
Absolutely. I would love to bring this platform live to Tasha. I think it would be great for what your vision is and what you're doing. Also have some artists I want to throw your way to listen to.
Okay.
And see if they, you know
Absolutely.
What I mean? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think that'd be great, man. First of all, brother, I want to say I truly respect you as a man.
Appreciate you.
You know what I mean? You are a motivation to me on being a visionary.
Thank you.
And understanding what, you know, how to pivot and use different lanes to be successful. And, you know, I've always admired what you're doing. I admire where you're going. Ashe's got my support.
Thank you, though.
In anything that you need, brother, hey, Teaser, can you do this? You got to connect to this. What do you think about this? My phone's always on, brother.
Thank you, man.
I hopefully look forward to build outside of this.
Absolutely.
And anything you need from me, man, you know, it's all peace and love on my end, and I will help 100. Any way I can.
100. Thank you very much, Teaser.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's love, bro.
It's real love.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Everybody, I go by the name of Montezy, yeah. Antoine Montezy Lewis. This man here, Darius Lockhart, is a phenomenal person. I'm truly, truly invested in what he has going on. It's connecting to my spirit, and when I'm a person where it connects to my spirit, I fully invest in, and it's amazing to see. You guys subscribe to the YouTube channel if you've not right now seeing it live. Please subscribe to the channel. Please show love. Hit the comment section up. You know what I mean? Make sure you guys, when I clip this, hit up Mr. Lockhart. Let him know how you're feeling about it. You know what I mean? This podcast is like a therapy session for all of us because I need it. That's why I love doing it. It's a chop-up game amongst men and women about life, things outside the game, things about who they are with the motivation, the spirit, and who they are as a person. I love you guys. Make sure you guys follow me at Teezy's Table on Instagram, at Teezy Jones on everything, on every platform. I love you. Take care of yourself. Salute. Teezy's Table. Thank you.